From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. Coming up, NPR's David Folkenflik on how ISIS is using the media to get its message out and what members of the media are considering going forward.
But first, let's learn more about ISIS, the group responsible for that beheading of another American journalist, Stephen Sotloff. Secretary of State John Kerry reacted today to the ISIS video that was released yesterday.
It's a punch to the gut. And the United States government, I want you to know, has used every single military, diplomatic, and intelligence tool that we have. And we always will.
Mark Lynch is director for the Institute for Middle East Studies at George Washington University. He's with us now via Skype. Mark, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, what do you think that ISIS thinks it's going to achieve through a video like this, another video like this?
Well, I think ISIS is trying to demonstrate its strength and trying to intimidate potential enemies. And I think it's all part of its broader strategy to try and assert control over the territories that it's carved out. I think that it's easy for us in the United States to tie ourselves into knots trying to figure out what they want us to do. Do they want us to attack? Are they trying to intimidate us? But I think the experience of the long years of the war on terror is that that's a fool's game, that we can't really let them set our strategy. We need to figure out for ourselves what it is we're trying to achieve and how we want to do it and not worry too much about what their intentions are.
Well, and I know that you follow media in the region. How are people reacting to this across the Arab world?
I think there's, at one level, there's actually a little bit of backlash about why there's so much outrage about an American being killed as opposed to all of the many, many Syrians and Iraqis who've been killed. But I think at the broader level, I think that this really is scaring a lot of people and outraging a lot of people. Just what ISIS is doing and the extent of its radicalism and barbarity is really bringing together a lot of people who have been at each other's throats for quite some time. You're seeing the GCC making efforts to unify itself again. You're seeing Iranians talking to Saudis. I think there's actually been a real shock and something that might actually help the region to move to a slightly more productive place.
And by the way, when you said GCC there, you're talking about the Gulf Cooperation Council. Let's talk about who is supporting ISIS in the region at this point. Where does it get its money from? Where does it get its support from?
Well, ISIS at this point seems to be largely a self-sustained living off of the land that it's captured and the people that it's ruling, and seems to have a healthy side business in ransoming hostages and trying to deal out the oil that it seized. I think if you look a little farther back, I mean, ISIS emerged out of the entire evolution of the Syrian rebellion, the Syrian uprising, where for a period of 2 to 3 years, you had enormous amounts of money flowing in to Syria, money and guns. You had both governments and you had many, many private individuals, especially in the Gulf, who were donating huge amounts of money, often not really knowing precisely where that money was going. So you might have, for example, a Kuwaiti who thinks that he's giving money to a charity to support Syrian children, and it turns out that it goes into the hands of a radical group. And ISIS emerges and it gains power within that environment.
Well, and it puts the United States in a very difficult position because it doesn't want to help the Assad regime in Syria battle ISIS because it's not friendly with the Assad regime. So you might help one and hurt the other inadvertently. But what about the idea of arming the Syrian rebels? Do you think that would have made a difference?
I don't think that it really would have. I mean, I think this is a very popular idea right now that if we had only armed the Syrian rebels, the Free Syrian Army, a year ago or 2 years ago, that this would have stopped ISIS from emerging or would have brought about the downfall of Assad. And I've always been very, very skeptical about that. You know, we could have gone in and we could have armed these groups, and I think mostly what it would have done, it would have dragged the United States deeper and deeper into the conflict without actually resolving it.
Which brings us to where we are now. And President Obama today addressing the question of how to combat ISIS. He spoke from Estonia this morning and he called it a cancer. Let's listen.
If we are joined by the international community, we can continue to shrink ISIL's sphere of influence, its effectiveness, its financing, its military capabilities, to the point where it is a manageable problem.
a manageable problem. Is it possible even to get to that point?
I think this is the direction that you're going to see policy go, if I had to guess, which is to form a broad regional international coalition and to slowly begin to squeeze ISIS and to try and, contain it in a way that will block its momentum and then slowly begin to meet its challenge. I think there's a huge difference between Iraq and Syria in this regard. I think that you're going to see increasingly aggressive efforts to support the Iraqi security forces and the Kurdish and the Peshmerga in Kurdistan, because there you're working with an established sovereign government that's invited us in, and you can really see a very clear possible political and military path to reverse ISIS's gains inside of Iraq. And I actually think the administration is doing a very good job there. In Syria, though, it's an entirely different story, and that's where you're likely to see what the president was talking about, this longer-term strategy of trying to contain and then push back ISIS. This has to, of course, be married to a longer-term strategy for figuring out how to bring about a de-escalation of the Syrian war itself, the civil war. And I don't think that we have a clear sense yet of what that's going to be.
Well, in the meantime, you've got word from an Afghan militant leader saying that the Taliban in Afghanistan might join ISIS if the group does create a genuine Islamic State.
I think that a lot of groups right now in intra-Islamist politics are jockeying and they're trying to figure out this very confusing new environment. I mean, I think people underestimate just how much has changed in the last couple years. Killing Osama bin Laden and degrading Al-Qaeda Central created a vacuum in the leadership of the radical Salafi jihadist organizations like ISIS. But also the broader campaign against the Muslim Brotherhood in places like Egypt and the Gulf has really crushed one of the more mainstream, more moderate types of movements, which means that there's just a real void and vacuum. And I don't think we know yet how this is going to resolve itself.
Mark Lynch heads the Institute for Middle East Studies at George Washington University. Professor Lynch, thank you for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me on.